Drive Electric Week on WLR.
With BYD Waterford. Meet Waterford's newest car brand. The biggest car brand you never heard of.
Right, John, what is this model?
This is a BYD Seal Excellence. So it's kind of our performance model.
Okay, and what's the colour?
Shadow green.
Shadow green. I'm going to take me for a little test drive. Okay, hit me with a bit of the spec of this car, please, John.
This is the Excellence model. We have a touchscreen display, heated steering wheel, heated seats, ventilated seats, dual wireless phone chargers, and a heads-up display.
Show me the special trick with the display here.
Oh, everyone loves this. You're going to like it one way or the other way, anyway.
Okay, let's go for a little spin.
Perfect.
John, if somebody's never driven an electric vehicle before, an electric car, what can they expect? What are they going to feel?
Well, it's going to drive pretty similar to an automatic vehicle, to be completely honest, with one major difference, and it's due to regenerative braking. So when you let your foot off the accelerator, the car will actually start slowing itself down. And what that does is actually charge back up the battery. So you always get a little bit further of a battery driving around town than you will, say, on a motorway.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's quite intense. In the Seal, we have two levels. We have standard and we have high. And at high, your brake lights do come on, so the people behind you do know you're slowing down, because it is, you know, quite intense, as you can kind of feel there.
Yes. And I'll try this now in a minute. The smoothness as well.
Yeah, look, there's no gearbox, so there's no changing gears or anything. It's the power just gradually goes up and up with the speed. Speed limits, the car will automatically change.
Say that again.
When we just go to change the speed limits, the car will pick it up on a new traffic sign.
So if we were going in an 80 mile an hour area, will it reduce back to 80 or?
Oh yeah, we have intelligent cruise control on this as well. So once we change, if we have our cruise control on, once the speed limit drops, it will drop as well.
And if you're allowed to go up to 100 kilometers per hour, it will increase automatically?
Yes.
Wow.
It'll ask you to just confirm it and then it'll go up itself.
Okay. In terms of the age demographic, how have you found interest in the electric vehicles?
Funnily enough, it's quite unusual, because normally a particular car, you know who's going to buy it. With these, we're having people from all areas of life come in and look at them, and we're getting all completely different trade-ins as well, you know, which is very unusual. But we're finding people who are in retirement coming in and looking at these. A lot of them are their first time buying an electric vehicle, and they're comfortable buying these because of the range, because of the warranty, and because of the value for money.
What is there anything you have to tell them? Like, some people will recognise that the market has slowed a bit.
Yeah.
So they'll ask you, why is it slowing down? What do you tell them?
Well, it's simple enough. You know, coming out of COVID, there was a pent-up demand for cars. Manufacturers had a lot of cars that had been stuck in docks. We were probably oversupplied. Now we're just getting back to a level of where supply is evening out. So there has been a slight bit of a decline, but it was simply due to the oversupply before that.
How do you find driving an electric car?
Honestly, I don't think I could go back. A lot of people will tell you when they buy their first automatic car that they'd never drive a manual car again. When you get your first electric car, it's hard to go back to a traditional petrol or diesel. Even some of the things like regenerative braking, it allows you to do one pedal driving, you know. So I find when I hop into a trade-in or something like that, I'm nearly forgetting to press the brake pedal.
Handling, everything else, just spot on.
Yeah, on this, it's designed to be a sports sedan, so the handling is very smooth, especially on the Seal. It's terrific in the corners. There is quite a lot of power. All electric cars with the electric motors have a lot of power, so you're never going to be worried about trying to overtake someone. Especially, this is really designed for motorway driving with the adaptive cruise control, the lane centering. You know, it's only a few steps away from autonomous driving.
Okay, John, I have driven an electric vehicle before, kind of know how they go. This is really, really smooth.
Yeah, it's terrific, isn't it?
Oh, it's really, really smooth. My goodness. And it has a lot of power?
This one does, 530.
530. I'm looking also at the screen, and I can see the speed.
Exactly, yeah, the heads-up display. You can't see
heads-up display.
Yeah, I can't see it. You can't see it from sitting in the passenger side. You have to be in the driver's position.
Wow. So I have the remote camera on my lapel of my shirt. John, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. Gives you just the right amount of information that you need.
Can you turn that off?
You can, yeah.
When you're stopped. So what are we looking at here, John? This looks very high tech.
Well, funny enough, this is actually our 360 degree parking cameras. So I always like to turn them on a test drive to give a customer a different point of view. So we can see here we have our overhead shot, we have our front camera. We can also click in and have a look behind us. You know, parking this car, it really couldn't be any simpler.
Wow. So this can be activated and can be operational as you're driving?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what's this here? This is just showing you overhead.
It's overhead, and the yellow lines are the directions that the tyres are pointing.
Go away.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that? Is that all GPS stuff?
Funny enough, it actually uses, there's four cameras on the car. It actually uses a front, rear, and then a camera on each wing mirror, and it processes an overhead view from that.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Look at the pickup on it.
I know.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Wow, it's just lovely.
And would you believe that's only eco mode?
Yeah.
You should see it in sport.
Yeah. Again, we're just on the ring road in Waterford. We're staying within the speed limits, of course, and everything like that. Isn't it amazing how technology has developed the last few years?
Exactly. Exactly. One of the, you know, speaking of technology, we have two great things in this car. One being a heat pump. They're in all BYDs as standard. And second being the battery. You know, it's a lithium iron phosphate battery, which not a lot of electric cars have.
Lovely. John, thank you very much.
No problem at all. What colour would you like? We'll put you down first.
Drive Electric Week on WLR.
With BYD Waterford. Meet Waterford's newest car brand, the biggest car brand you never heard of.
As you know, we're doing a lot of information aspects of Electric Car Week and Electric Vehicle Week, and I'm delighted that he was able to drive over. What did you drive over in, Thomas?
A Model 3.
Model 3. What is a Model 3?
That's a Tesla.
Tesla Model 3. Okay. See, again, there's a whole new language when it comes to electric vehicles. You say Model 3 and I go, what's that? What's that? You know, I don't know these things. So I know nothing. Pretend I know nothing. Okay. You are the secretary of the Irish Electric Vehicle Association, lobby group of EV enthusiast drivers and owners, and you're based over in Wexford, just outside of Wexford town. And thank you so much for coming over to talk to me. So we've got a couple of simple questions. Let's hit them as we go. Where are we and what's happening in the electric car market at the minute?
Well, over the past few years, we've seen a lot of growth in what's available. Like back in 2016, when I first got an electric vehicle, there was maybe half a dozen unique vehicle types to choose from. At the moment, like this year, there's probably about 100, whatever, about variations in battery sizes. And as there's more cars being bought over the past years, we've also seen a significant growth in the number of second-hand electric vehicles available. I was looking at Dundeal this morning. There's 76,000 second-hand cars available. 3,000 of those were EVs. We've also seen that electric vehicles seem to be shifting off garage forecourts quicker than petrol and diesel cars are. And on the purchasers, we're probably moving into the early majority segment.
Okay. What was your first electric vehicle?
I got a Nissan Leaf. Leaf. 2016.
2016. And you traded that in?
I traded it in at the start of this year after 8 years of ownership and about 175,000 kilometres on it.
Okay. And do you mind me asking, how much did you get as a trade-in on that?
It was about 5,000.
Okay. And how much did it cost you originally?
It's probably around 23,000.
Okay. And how does that compare, I suppose, with diesel or petrol cars? Were you happy with the trade-in you got?
I could have got more if I sold it privately, but it was the convenience of it. I was able to just drive in the old car, quick visual inspection from the dealer, and then it was off in the new car, the BYD Dolphin.
Okay. Now, why has the market slowed down? We've heard about the different aspects of the market slowing, and I presume it's a number of factors. It's fairly complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a perfect storm of conditions. Like prior to COVID, Dundeal had done a report and they had diesel down as the worst depreciating like vehicle type. Petrol and electric were at a kind of similar rate. But, you know, over the past few years, we've seen that prices increased a lot during COVID as there were supply issues. And then in 2023, we saw that there was a lot of deep discounts going on in vehicle prices, or EV prices especially. Like, say, in January 2023, Tesla reduced the price of the Model 3 to $42,000. And this year it's down to $38,000. So, you know, depreciation is being calculated against the new cost of those vehicles rather than, you know, the much higher prices that people would have originally purchased at.
Okay. People talk about, and some questions have come in relation to the charging points and still the lack of initiatives and rolling out of charging points. Has this affected new vehicle sales? So, for example, more people might be going for the hybrid rather than purely electric.
I suppose there might be a bit of a perception about that, but I think charging infrastructure has really picked up over the past 2 years. And we even have EU directives which basically require us to have triple the amount of charging capacity by the end of next year. And even if you look around Waterford, over the past, you know, several months, we've seen installations going in Tremore. Was it out by Dungarvan? We've seen more go live. Even on the Key in Waterford, we've got units going in and there's more coming out by Whitfield and SETU.
What do you want to see done? Do you want to see the grants restored, increased? Do you want to see more on-street parking initiatives? Because people that are in apartments, there's a big issue, obviously, regarding lack of charging points.
Yeah, there's a number of things we'd like to see done. We'd at least like to see that the purchasing incentives remain as they are for now and that the public infrastructure rollout goes as planned. As I said, we're required to triple the charging capacity by the end of next year. We're also looking to further the issue, as I said, of enabling charging for those without off-street parking. And of course, we're keen to see charge point operators reducing the cost of public charging, which went up in recent years. Some have started reducing it, and the cost of home charging has also been decreasing. And we'd like to see, more effort on upskilling, you know, technicians to be able to work on electric vehicles here too.
What is, somebody just texted in, what's the resale value on electric cars at the minute?
Well, that is a difficult question to answer. I suppose, looking at the moment, if on Dundeal, like, it's relatively easy to find an electric vehicle with a 400 kilometre or so range for around 20,000. Originally, they probably would have been coming in around 40,000, but it's a bit of a buyer's market at the moment. So, you know, what are you willing to accept when you're trading in your car just so you can sell it, or not even trade, but, you know, sell it, say, privately?
So it's a buyer's market at the minute?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so what do you mean by that?
Well, supply isn't as constrained as it was in recent years. Like 2 or 3 years ago, we were actually seeing cases where people were able to sell a car after a year and they'd be getting at least as much as what they originally purchased for. But as I said, I looked on Dundeal this morning, there's 3,000 EVs available, so you don't have that, you know, selling power yourself anymore.
Also, the aspect of Tesla reducing their prices. I was reading about this yesterday. BYD coming into the market with newer models and ranges as well. So competition within the market. And then we've got Volkswagen, all different Peugeot, different ranges, as you say, up to 100 different models available in the different showrooms. The market is getting more competitive. Is that driving prices down?
Yes, that's had an effect too. And I think most manufacturers over the past year have, you know, done at least one price decrease. I know one journalist was on about their, I believe it was a Volkswagen, it cost them $42,000 when they purchased it, but these days it's probably around $37,000 to purchase it new. So it's great for new car buyers, but for the individuals who purchase it at those, you know, inflated prices, they'd be seeing issues, I suppose, or more of a depreciation hit than they would have expected initially.
Okay. How many years are most people keeping new electric cars? Somebody just texted me in.
Well, I suppose PCP appears to be the most popular form of purchasing.
What's PCP?
Was it personal contract plan?
Okay.
For that, I suppose the period that you're purchasing the car over is typically 3 or 4 years, and then you have an option to make a balloon payment at the end to actually buy the car outright, or maybe you'll trade it in to get a new one. And what we've seen with Bank of Ireland, at least, is that that is what 9 out of 10 people are actually doing when their, you know, their PCP period is up, they're moving on to a new EV. But a lot of people are actually extending their ownership into longer term. As I was saying myself, like when I got the Nissan Leaf, like I kept it for 8 years, so I only traded in at the start of this year, and I've Model 3 for 4.5 years now.
Do most people that buy an electric car, do they, if they are trading in, will they also stay electric? Will they continue to buy electric?
It seems to be similar to the PCP. About 9 out of 10 do indeed seem to stick with an EV.
Okay. NCTs. How does NCTs work with electric cars? This is a question that came in yesterday.
There's no particular difference for the owner. And there's some less things to check on the NCTS's part. Like with a battery-only EV, obviously there's no exhaust, so there's no emissions to check. The fuel system leaks aren't really an issue, so, you know, it's not a whole lot to inspect there. But, you know, they're still cars, so headlights, are they aligned properly? That can be an issue. Suspension, brakes. Now, I know you mentioned that there was on the test drive about regenerative braking, so there's less brake wear. But, you know, there's still kind of common sense physical issues that you have to check when doing the NCT.
Okay. Text in there from Kevin, I think it is. What about the Chinese tariffs? They're due to be implemented in Europe. How will this affect different manufacturers and imports?
I was actually just looking at that this morning, and what I saw is Tesla actually now have a warning up on the Model 3 page saying that, hey, we expect the prices to be changed come July because of the imposition of these tariffs. But they don't have that warning on the Model Y page because that's now being produced in Germany for right-hand drive cars. And the tariffs themselves will be applied on whatever the value of the car is, I think, as it's, or, you know, when it's imported in. But obviously the dealers are selling it, which, you know, which includes a profit to them. So you might get it might be a few thousand of a difference, but it's hard to know, as you have to take that into account and price it out yet.
And most manufacturers then, they will maybe realign their processes over time to reduce the cost and maybe negate the tariff imposition. They might be able to work out some systems.
Yeah, like I think it was BYD, as an example, were, I think, looking to set up a manufacturing plant in Hungary.
Yeah.
Hungary obviously is in Europe, so that's the tariff bypass. That's the tariff thing, yeah. In place.
Jonathan texts in, I have an EV. There's one problem, an issue people are not talking about, is the cost of charging in public infrastructure versus charging at home. People with hybrid cars charging at public points and fully electric vehicles waiting to charge. It's very frustrating. Any comment on that?
Yeah, we definitely agree that the price of public charging needs to be looked at. As mentioned, domestic charging has come down a lot, like you've seen announcements from most of the energy providers over the, you know, past year or so. What we have seen lately is price cuts or more competitive pricing from the likes of Tesla, Bright, and The EasyGo chargers, which are situated nationwide at Lidl's, have come down in price. So hopefully a lot of the other charge point providers are going to announce soon, Sam.
Okay. So what advice would you give to anyone looking to purchase at the minute? Obviously, I suppose budget comes into it. That's the first thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, what's your budget? What do you realistically drive? And where do you intend to charge? As I was saying, I started out with a Nissan Leaf because I was working in Waterford, so I had a 110-kilometre commute every day, you know, extra Waterford. And the Leaf that I was looking at had 180-kilometre range. So I could get through the day with just home charging. These days, I'm now a 350-kilometre commute. Well, not every day, but regular enough. So that's Wexford to Cork. The Model 3 has a 560-kilometre range. So in both cases, I can get through my typical day with just home charging alone. Now, I said that was a 560 and 180-kilometre range here. That's the rated range based on the WLTP testing. Not everyone's going to be driving to the test conditions. So I'd kind of suggest maybe taking, you know, 25% off whatever you see as the advertised range of a vehicle to get a more realistic, here's what I can drive without putting any particular effort into it.
Okay. You mentioned as well second-hand electric cars on the market. Done deal this morning, 76,000 second-hand cars, 3,000 are electric vehicles. So there are and there is selections there if people want to have a look at that. Tom phoned in to say it costs 12,000 to replace an electric car battery, and the mileage that these cars do is still not high enough for people who drive for a living. What happens to the electric, to the battery? How is it disposed of, says this texter?
Well, I looked at that again recently. There was a US organization that had like a survey of about, I think it was about 15,000 EVs which have been manufactured from 2011 to 2023. And the replacement rates of those were exceptionally low. I actually had a blog post up where I applied the replacement rates that had occurred for each of those years of vehicle manufacturers. And it looks like 99.7% of electric vehicles that have been registered in Ireland since 2011 to 2020, or the end of 2023, you know, haven't had their battery replaced.
Oh.
So that's maybe, you know, kind of 300 vehicles at most would have had an out of warranty, or not an out of warranty replacement, a out of recall replacement.
Okay. Somebody's asked, how much would you be able to buy a Leaf for now? For example, your Leaf that you traded in, what would that be selling for, I wonder? Would you get one for five or 6,000?
I actually saw two on Dundeal this morning for less than, around 3,000 euro.
Around 3,000, okay.
Yeah. And just on the, I suppose more on the batteries there. There's also a number of companies that are engaged in battery recycling right now. You know, globally, there's SK Tests, Fortum, Umicore, Tesla and Volkswagen are doing it. Volkswagen actually do it out in their plant in Germany. So I have to put up a link now to the blog post I had on it. But there's loads of companies that are engaged in recycling lithium-ion batteries right now.
Okay. Some good questions, some good answers there, excellent answers. There's more questions coming in. We're going to have Joe on tomorrow to answer more questions that we haven't got to today. But I want to thank you for coming in. Really appreciate it, Thomas. If anybody wants to contact you, the Irish Electric Vehicle Association, I presume they can contact you via email or Facebook or whatever.
Yep, through the website, we have a live chat if anyone wants to send any questions into us. And obviously, we have the Facebook group. We're on, you know, X as well. And, well, whatever your preferred social media platform is.
Perfect. Thomas McGuire, thanks for coming over from Wexford to see us. And safe driving. God bless.
Right. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Drive Electric Week on WLR.
With BYD Waterford. Meet Waterford's newest car brand. The biggest car brand you never heard of.